Come on. Why don't you grab your communion? We can start with the communion. I'm going to sit down. Can we put the pads on, please, just for a second? We're going to start with communion. Just in case I get tired, I'll sit. Grab your communions. Do the stripping of the foil. Is it whatever it is? Has anyone ever struggled with the communion? Yeah, okay, good. All right, good. So it's not just me then. Awesome. And I just want to just acknowledge the importance of communion in healing. And I really felt this was just something that the Lord put on my heart this morning. This isn't just, we take communion often at this church. And if you come to, say, three services, you do it three times a week at the... And I just want to acknowledge, as we always do, I mean, we always give it time and we say, hey, let's do communion. But you know that there is healing in the communion. There is healing in the communion. And it's just so, so important that we understand that when we are partaking, we're actually partaking of something that's happened in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the natural, that actually prophesies divine health over us. Communion, what Jesus did on the cross, part of the atoning sacrifice at the cross was for our healing. Everyone say healing. And so we can actually pull that, and God wants us to do that. We can actually pull that through the cross by acknowledging that it was part of the atoning sacrifice. And that actually opens us up to receive a level of healing as we do communion. So if you are sick in your body, please stand to your feet before you take your communion. If you can stand, and if you can't, then that's fine. Brilliant. Not brilliant that you're sick. Brilliant that you're standing up. And so we are actually going to receive communion, and we're going to receive healing in the communion today. And if you're not sick, when you're receiving actually, even if you're sitting down, you're receiving a supernatural energizing. You're actually prophesying into your body what happened at the cross, and that part of who you are is that you are, as part of your inheritance, a recipient, everyone say recipient, a recipient of divine health, divine energy, divine sleep, all of the things, the attributes, literally, that are contained within Christ in order that physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we can operate at an optimum level. And God wants us to understand that, because that's part of why he died. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, we in your name, we thank you for everything you did on the cross. We acknowledge the part of your atoning sacrifice, the breaking of your body and the spilling of your blood was actually a reality of body, soul, spirit healing. And so right now, if you're sick when you take it, as we take the body, as we take your body and we drink of the representation of your blood, we acknowledge right now, and we ask you to bring divine healing as part of our inheritance, pulled through the cross as part of this communion now and as part of our inheritance in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Take your communion. Imagine if you got healed right now. Sorry, that was a bit early. Just let you guys. Let you take it first. I went to a men's camp, men's meeting, about 19 years ago. It was when I was half in the kingdom and half out. And I remember going to this men's camp meeting, and there was a guy there, and he was about to die. Well, his story was that he was about to die. And the Lord spoke to him and said, do communion for 40 days. And he did communion every day for 40 days, and he was completely miraculously healed of the terminal illness he had. And I want to encourage, no, I know that, so if you are ever sick and you're in this church, or you're ever sick and you're at home, never discount the power of communion. This is really, really important. How many of you know that's true? Okay, because we need to believe in spiritual realities, don't we? Who believes in spiritual realities? Okay, half of you. Now, the other half of you will definitely believe in spiritual realities after this message today. So, so good. You can leave the pads on. Do you guys like the pads? Oh, yeah, why not? It's very, very, very pleasant. Very good. Oh, no. Well, you can't actually, because I'm going to play you a movie in 1 second. I'll play you a thing. I'm going to tell you a story. Many years ago, or actually, it wasn't many years ago, but it was a few years ago, my dad died. And when he died, it was quite hard. I was actually in Myanmar with Christina, Maddie, and Todd. about, I don't even know when we were there. What year was that? 2018. I was in Myanmar. And the Lord spoke to me when I was in Myanmar, and my dad got sick, and he said, I want you to fly and go and see your dad. And we were in the middle of the thing. Apparently, I missed an amazing meeting afterwards. But I literally felt like I was to fly back. And I remember flying back, and my dad was sick in hospital. And when he was sick in hospital, I spoke to him, and I said, just call on his name. And then afterwards, he said to me, the good thing about me and you, Daryl, is we can completely disagree on religion, and yet we're still strong family. Well, I thought strong family was rich, being as he had never rung me in 35 years. But it is what it is. Everything's his own perspective. And he said to me, actually, do you want to hear a funny story? And it's totally fine. He said to me, one thing about me, Daryl, unlike your grandfather, who was his father, he said, at least I wasn't an absent father. And I was like, now he's in hospital, he's very sick. And I feel like going, okay, let's look at the definition of absence. And then let's look at, and we're talking absent, really absent father. I'm going to talk to you about this, a little bit about this today. So much so that my father has never, ever once come to see me wherever I was in the world, ever. Never once. So he's never been to my house. My mum and dad got divorced at the age of 3. My mum and dad separated. My dad had never, ever once come into a place where I was living. Never once. That's kind of absent. You think so? You ready for the next one? Only called me once when my granddad died. He called me twice. He called me once just telling me he was sick, twice. That's only 2 phone calls from my father when he died. I was, how old was I? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Actually, you don't need to know how old I was. But I look better than, yeah, anyway, I'm just joking. And so it was a really big deal. But when my dad died, many of you guys know that I'm an excellent worship leader. And if you're laughing, there's an issue and we'll be having a chat. And so, I'm joking. It's something that I started to come into a little bit. And I'd had prophetic words over the years that you will start to lead worship and you will bring people into the presence of God through leading worship. And if any of you have seen my journey, I've been leading worship for, I reckon, how long do you think? Not long, maybe 4 months. It's been about 4 month window. Now, I want to tell you what happened at the start of the 4 months. So, is everyone okay? So at the start of the 4 months, I had an experience. And in the experience, I was praying, and the Lord took me out of my body. And he took me out of my body, and he took me soaring over the green hills of Northern Ireland. And I was flying over Northern Ireland going, wow, this is an amazing experience. This is awesome. And suddenly I came to a mound. And I realized that the mound was actually the place that my dad had been buried. Now, I didn't get to go to the funeral because it was during the COVID time, so I wasn't able to go to the funeral, but I recognized the mound. Now, there was no gravestone in there yet because we were still doing it. We were still doing it with my brother, and in fact, in 30 days, we're going to the mound, so there you go. And I remember floating over there in the spirit and going, wow, God, this is where my dad's buried. And he said, I've brought you here to collect something. I've brought you here to collect something. Now, many of you guys, many of you might know this, you might not. My dad was one of the best musicians in the whole of Ireland. He was one of the best guitarists. He was sought out. He designed guitars for some very, very famous people. He was a singer-songwriter and very, very well known in Northern Ireland for his craft. Absolutely brilliant. And for many, many years, I knew I was musical. Obviously, you've seen me land stuff, and this is all about me today. So, and I knew I was very musical, but there was always something very strong over me where I felt like I couldn't actually move into something musical. And in fact, a number of years ago, I had an experience where I went to go and learn to play the guitar. And I went into this guitar teacher and I said, okay, this is who my dad was. And the guitar teacher said, I can't teach you to play the guitar. And I remember it was in Sydney. I was living in Sydney at the time. And this guitar teacher, I said, why not? And he said, because I told him who I was and, you know, my experience, and, you know, not that there was a lot, and who my dad was. And he said, I can't teach you to play the guitar because I'm a real musician. This is what he said to me. I'm a real musician. He said, and this is when my dad was alive, he said, you ring your father and you tell him you met a real muso that refuses to speak, it refuses to teach his son until his son comes out of his shadow. And I was like, what do you mean? I can't believe you're saying this. You know, and And he said, you will never allow yourself to be good musically. You will never allow yourself to develop while you still sit under his shadow musically. And I like music. And I know, look, we all know, look, you might be looking at me going, but hold on, I've heard you sing. And let's not exaggerate. I mean, it's all right, you know. But it's not about that. It's actually about me being able to express part of my identity and part of my calling. But yet that part of my world I have indirectly, this is for a lot of people here today, indirectly not allowed it to come forth because I was sitting under a shadowing. And I remember one day I was trying to play the guitar, and I remember my dad coming up, and he was a real encourager. I lived with him for a little while, and I started to play the guitar, and he goes, wow, you don't do it like that. And I said, well, teach me, you know. And he said something along the lines of, you'll never be as good as your brother ever could be. And I'm telling you this right now, my brother is, how old is he? I don't know. He's a half-brother, so he's a number of years younger. He is such an exceptional guitarist. So I thought to myself, wow, well, the mantle musically was obviously given to my brother. Anyway, is everyone okay? I'm healed, you can feel. There's no pain there. This is not a painful testimony. So I'm flying over this mound in Northern Ireland about 5 months ago. And the Lord speaks to me, says, you've got something to collect. And I said, what is it? And he said, I need to give you the mantle that's been waiting for you as firstborn, and I need to give it to you. So I'm now going to give you the mantle that your dad died and it wasn't given to you. He died, but you didn't receive the mantle spiritually of what you need to carry on and to activate the next level of your destiny. Now, is everyone following? Is everyone tracking? I'm trying to keep it all in order. So I do that. And then, you know, I hadn't led worship at all, hadn't gone into any of this thing. Then Rachel starts talking to me, literally after this experience, and starts saying, I'm going to start to put you up, get you leading some worship. And I was like, sure. Now, God hadn't identified anything to do with the mantle or anything else. Now, many of you guys will know, or some of you guys do know, maybe you don't, I really like writing. You wouldn't think I do because I don't do much of it. But I do really like it. And I have so many semi-published books, and I've even got publishers really constantly asking me, even just recently, can we publish you? You know, we know you've got lots, and I've got a book on angels, and I've got all this other stuff, but nothing was ever completed. Now, this is interesting. What do you think my dad's primary profession was apart from being a musician? He was an author. He was a writer. So, let's put the picture of my dad. Why not? Let's honor him today. There he is. Oh, he's a good guy. There we go. He's gone now, but that's okay. He was handsome. Now, so many years ago, but as you can see, he was obsessed with guitars and music. Okay, so I have this experience, and I knew that I was called. Now, the only thing my dad ever said to me, you can take it down, it's fine. It was exciting, but not that exciting. one of the things my dad said to me was, he said, one of the things, Daryl, and he's always drunk, and he was always, you know, if I ever talked to him, you know, one thing you've got to remember. And I said, what's that? And he goes, you will be a writer. It's the only really encouraging thing he ever said to me. Anyway, so I wrote and, you know, whatever. But I never got past anything. Anyway, so I'm floating over these things. Is everyone still following me? So two weeks later, I get home and there's a box in my house addressed to Daryl Crawford Marshall from Northern Ireland. And I'm like, this is really interesting. And I open the box, and it's a little tin. And I'm like, wow, this is really generous. My dad's estate, I've had a tin released to me. It's like amazing. Literally the only thing that was released to me. But it's okay, I'm healed in that as well, relatively. And there's this tin and a little box. And I open the tin, and it's a guitar slider and two picks. And then I open the box, and it's two writing pens. And my brother messages me, and he goes, I don't know why, but in everything in the house, I felt compelled to send you a guitar slide pick this week, last week, the week after I'd hovered, and my dad's writing pens, his writing utensils. I had to get it to you. He said, I couldn't, and he was compelled. He's not a believer. I was compelled. I had to get it in the mail to you. Why? I took the mantle. You see, things happen in the realm of the spirit. Then what starts to happen? You've already seen the level of rapid acceleration and development in my worship leading now. But what's interesting, it's not about how skilled someone is in something per se. Yes, there's the gift and call of God irrevocable and you develop in skill. It's not about that. It's actually about a level of release so you can start to explore the places where you haven't dared to explore properly. Does that make sense? So anyway, so then I keep on writing, and then suddenly I have a conversation with somebody just recently, and they say, hey, I don't know where you're at with the book, but let's just get it done. Let's get it published. Let's get it whatever. And so, and you know, history will tell us if I actually bother doing that bit. But what I find interesting is this. There is a spiritual dimension and spiritual dynamics around your life that you couldn't possibly believe. It's a really, really, it's a really big deal. And you are both a natural person, most people here, but you're also a person that exists within the realm of the spirit, and within the realm of the spirit. And there is a predestined reality written over you that has been written over you for generations. And that is a prophecy of the outworking of your predestined design and the things that you will do while you walk on the earth. And the reality is that as we start to get more into the things of God, and yes, we get healed, yes, we dismantle things that shouldn't be around, yes, we move into new things, and we start to move in those places. But let me tell you this, as we start to acknowledge who we are in the Spirit, we acknowledge our generational lines, we acknowledge and honor the redemptive plan that God has for us and for our family lines, generations to come and generations past. As we start to acknowledge that, we start to access favor and opportunity to outwork part of the mission, the mandate, and the calling that was predestined for us to walk out. We actually access new levels of those things. Now, I'll tell you, I'm 43 now, and I started leading worship at 43. That's 43 years, and I knew that I took that from my mantle, from my dad. Now, I was speaking to a guy many years ago, who's a prophet in Ireland, an Irish prophet, Brendan. What's Brendan's surname? Macaulay. Brendan Macaulay. Brendan Macaulay was talking to me on the phone, and I was saying, "Hey, Brendan, you know," he goes, "How's it going?" You know, and I said, "Good." And it was talking to him, and I said, "Yeah, you know my dad, John Marshall," and he said, "Your dad is John Marshall?" And I said, "My dad's John Marshall," and he said, "I know John Marshall. I'm going to go and see him." And he said this, "Daryl, did you know when I was at university and I was part of the Christian organization that your dad led worship every time we met?" And I was like, "But he wasn't a Christian." And he said, "Doesn't matter. He was pulled in to lead every time we met." Now, how interesting is that? I didn't know that until Brendan told me. And what's so interesting then is I start to see a link and a line. And I'm like, "Ooh, I'll have me some of that for my inheritance." Now, I'm sure it's going to go much stronger to Asher. But what's interesting is this. What has been laid dormant in your family line that needs to be activated, that needs to be touched, that needs to be brought through, that needs to be pulled into your world? And the Lord says, "Will you believe in the invisible? Will you believe in the predestined reality over you and your family line? And will you allow me to activate it and bring a level of redemption to it?" Now, what's really interesting is this. The first part of that is this, that where was I? I was in prayer and suddenly I was flying in the Spirit. Now, some of you guys are happy with that. Who's okay with flying in the Spirit? Oh, everyone here. Okay, great. Awesome. Let's all fly now. That does it. Flying in the Spirit. Okay. Six weeks ago, I'm in the Spirit and the Lord takes me up over a nation. And he says, "Okay, in this nation, I'm going to grant you access in the realm of the Spirit over this nation." And I said, "Oh, that's awesome." And I said, "God, what am I going to do?" And he says, "You're going to just do some work in this nation. You've got stuff to do here. I'm doing some stuff in the realm of the Spirit." And he takes me over the nation. I'm flying over the nation the same way that I'm flying over the... Because I'm taking something in the realm of the Spirit from Northern Ireland. Then I'm flying over the nation. Do you want to put the next picture up? 5-6 weeks ago, suddenly, this is taken day before yesterday. This is Singapore. This is the nation that I was soaring over in the realm of the Spirit. You can take that down now. It's a nice picture, but nice crown on my head. But I only flew in yesterday. But God spoke to me and said, there's stuff in the realm of the spirit that we need to get done. And when I'm in prayer, he takes me out of my body, out of a natural realm, and takes me into a realm of the spirit. And then what happens? It's not just ethereal playing with an angel. Oh my goodness, here we go. Yeah, you know, everything's happening. I'm doing so much stuff in the realm of the spirit, but there's nothing landing in the natural. And I want to encourage you in this. When it's truly in God, when God truly teaches you to build and occupy places and starting to do stuff in the realm of the spirit, you get packages sent to your door. You get sent to the places that you have started to. Why? Because it's part of your inheritance. And God wants to take us all to new levels. He wants to take us to new levels. In the reality, I will talk about redeeming stuff, but in the reality of the realm of the spirit and the realm of the natural. So for many years, God speaks to me through many different ways. And one of the ways that the Lord would speak to me systematically through the years was through this song, which I used to play consistently. Now, don't worry about the context of school and don't worry about the context of home, but just listen to the song. Let's listen to it. Turn it up. Turn it up nice and loud.
I live in two different worlds, like lots of other boys and girls. One's at home with my family, the other's school where I learn all I can be. I live in two different worlds. I live in two different worlds. A home I can speak whenever I please. I can talk real loud and shoot the breeze. School, I raise my hand in the air when there's something that I want to share. Can sit here and there on the couch, the floor, my bed, or easy chair. At school, I have a special place. It's my desk, and that's my learning space. Two different worlds. School's got more rules because learning's the goal. Learning takes focus, so you'll need self-control.
So, okay, it's good. It's good. It wasn't me. It's Ed Sheeran. He's pretty cool. I live in two different worlds. Why would he get me to meditate on that song? Not because I need to be behaved when I'm at school, because there are two different places, two different dimensions that he wants me to acknowledge. And I'm not going to preach you out of that Sesame Street, but what he taught me was there are two different states or two different postures. And so can we put up Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6? Or let's go verse 5, verse 6. And it says this, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. Sorry, God made us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, let's put up 2 Corinthians 5:17. These seem like really basic scriptures today, but I just want to catch something, because we can't redeem things from family lines. We can't carry new mantles. We can't see the access and the activation if we do not allow a distinct separation in our understanding that we are both here and we are moving and operating and abiding in the realm of the spirit too. Now, a lot of believers say, yeah, I get it. And maybe a lot of guys here do too. But in the spirit world, we are very active, and God wants to consistently take us to places and wants us to administrate things much bigger than our natural understanding in our natural world. Okay, so it says this. Therefore, let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things or new things have come. And what does that mean? It means that new things have come. It's the word kainos, new creation, never before seen. And so in Christ, you receive Christ and you are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know when people got saved here, you actually felt different. Who felt different when they got saved? You're like, wow, when I got saved, I was going around and I was going, I feel so different. I feel like I've become a different person. And so I want to encourage you. We aren't normal. And I've spoken about this before, if you've heard, you know, not like this, but we are not normal. And I want to constantly, we need to constantly have our mind renewed into the reality of who we are. Let's put up Romans 12, verse 2. And so it says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so we have to be constantly transformed in our inner world. We have to understand, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind as to who we are. Because some people, you get born again and you didn't feel any different. How many people got born again and you didn't actually feel something? Yeah, this is really common, really common. But how many of you know something really did change? And you looked in the mirror and you're like, wow, I'm born again, but I look the same. My ears are still funny. Is there going to be any kind of, you know? But what the Lord wants us to look at is he wants us to look at who we have become in the realm of the spirit. Because in the realm of the spirit, I haven't got the picture right now, but if you've ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie Commando, who's ever seen the movie Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's like only four people here. Don't watch it. It's completely inappropriate. So just a lot of killing and a lot of chopping of arms. Christina could like it. So what happens in that is he's really big. And I remember watching the movie and I remember the Holy Spirit watching it with me and going, you look like that. I'm like, thanks. And he said, in the realm of the spirit, when you carry the arsenal that you carry, you look like that. And I want to encourage you in the way that you see yourself is not necessarily the way that God sees you. And the way that you see yourself isn't necessarily, this is the big part, you ready? Isn't the way that the spirit world sees you. You see, the spirit world is always looking and going, how much do they believe? How much do they know about what they carry? You get harassed. When people get harassed in the realm of spirit, how many people have you been harassed before? Do you know what's so interesting? I used to get harassed a little bit in the realm of the spirit. I used to get harassed sometimes in the realm of the spirit. And sometimes, you know, there's a warfare around. Until I actually just started to stand, not do anything, but just stand in my authority. And I remember we were in bed one time and there was a witch that astral projected. This is not going well at all. It's these Singapore kilos are not doing me. There was in the realm of the spirit and this witch literally started to astral project into the room. Do you remember this night? Astral projecting the thing. And literally, I can see words in the spirit. I can actually see her releasing words over our bed. And I'm like, get out right now in the name of Jesus. Now, and then I'm like, hold on, why am I just telling her to get out? In fact, you get out right now, and I am going to actively, with the Holy Spirit, shut down your coven. And so I just start to pray, and I start to whatever, because there has to be some recompense for what you've just done. So I pray for a couple of minutes and go back to bed. And so what I'm saying in that, and then some other stuff happened, and then when we moved, we had another witch astral project. And I was, do you want to hear a funny story? So I was in the bathroom, just going to say that, and I'm sitting in the bathroom, and a witch astral projected into my room. We'd just been walking through Harndorf. And so we're walking through Harndorf. It was the first time we'd ever been to Harndorf. And I came back from Harndorf, and I was thinking about what we were doing, you know, and we're just seeing it. And I went to the bathroom, and a witch astral projected into the bathroom and started to put, like, tarot cards on the floor in the spirit and said, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Like that. And then I said, no, as told to say. I said, who are you? And she said, I am from the coven of the witches of Harndorf. Why are you here? And I said, I'm here to take territory, but I'm in the bathroom. And you ever come back into my house again, you and everyone you know is going to regret it. She left immediately. Left immediately. Then I Google witches of Harndorf. Of course there's a full coven there called the witches of Harndorf. I didn't know that. She laid her cards out But what did she thought was laying her cards out on the table? She was started to lay her real cards out on the table. Why? Authority. See, in the spirit world, you are much stronger than you know. And this spirit world is so exciting and so real. And what God wants to do with us is he wants us to grow in levels of authority, grow in levels of understanding. And then as we do that, he wants us to enjoy the journey, but he wants us to do this these levels of damage to the enemy camp. He wants us to displace the principalities and powers and dark forces. That is part of our role. But unless we see ourselves, because, you know, people get so intimidated. I hear so much, the warfare is so much, oh, it's just so much warfare. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, that warfare doesn't happen. But the more, you know what, if you start talking about how crazy it is all the time, what are you doing? Magnifying it. You're magnifying, oh my goodness, it's just so. Now, stuff happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But let me tell you this right now. When you are in jurisdiction, you don't talk about how hard everything is all the time. If you're constantly having to say how hard everything because the warfare is so tough over your life, there's something amiss. There's an issue. Something's wrong. Something's wonky. There's a breach there. Something's going on. Something's a bit wrong. Does that make sense? So you've got to repair the breaches. You've got to work out what's going on internally. You've got to deal with whatever it is, and then you've got to eject those spirits when they come, and you actually just have to stand and you say, no, this is actually my territory, my house, my church, my city, my state, my nation. Get out. Anyway, so in saying all of that, why am I saying that today? Because we live in two different worlds. And one of the worlds that you live in, you can see most people are very comfortable and most people disassociate into the natural world. There's a disassociation process where they go, okay, I'm just going to... Someone agrees there. And so... But God doesn't want us to do that. You see, it actually says that we are temporary residents here. It actually says that you're an alien here and your home is in heaven. So if you are an alien, which everyone is here, and you are a temporary resident here, then let me tell you this right now. Just as a result of who you are, you have access to things that you couldn't possibly imagine in the realm of the spirit. But you have to believe and you have to know who you've been called to be. Now I'm going to tell you a funny story I just told Belinda the other day. So when I arrived in, literally we just came back from Southeast Asia. When I arrived in Singapore, I got off the plane and I lost my passport. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever lost their passport in a country in Southeast Asia before, but it's not recommended. So I end up going and I just feel this immense peace. I'm like, wow. So I go to the thing and I said, haven't got a passport. And I'm like, but I've got a meeting to go to. I literally had a meeting to go to 2 hours later. And so then they said, okay, sir, who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And I feel this immense peace. And I'm like, then they just said, oh, we'll just give you, you have a pass. Here's a pass. You can just go into Singapore, whatever. But you need to go to the Australian consulate. You need to go to the consulate in the morning. And you need to just file and register so you can get home with a temporary passport. And so anyway, so I go, this is so bizarre. So the next morning, I go to the consulate. I get a taxi to the consulate. And I go in. Who's ever been to an embassy or a consulate overseas before, an Australian one? Oh my God, I'm like, I said, who is paying for this? Because this is luxury, I want to live here, you know. It was absolutely immense. And I went in there and it was gated and you go in. It's literally Australia overseas. I thought it was amazing. I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I go in there, as soon as I walk in there, angel's there. Angel from Australian territory. I'm like, he goes, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, what? And the Lord speaks to me. And he says, I want to show you what it feels like to have granted authority over in a nation, even if you're not from there. I walk out and I'm like, I'm so pleased I lost my passport. That was one of the best spiritual experiences I've had for a long time. I've been up in the realm of the spirit. Now I'm in the consulate. I'm seeing what it looks like for Australia to be established in a place, how you can access angels in different places, how I can work with the angelic realm in a different place by connecting in with the angel in the embassy. And I'm like, this is going really well. This is a really, really, really fun. So anyway, so then I go back to the hotel, lost passport, all of that. Wait a couple of days later, phone call. Hello, sir. Singapore Airlines. We found your passport. It was in the pocket. I said, hold on a second. When I got off the plane, I asked you to go and search the pockets. They didn't let me back on. Just outside the plane. I asked you to search the pocket, and you said that there was nothing could be found. No one could find it. It was impossible. It's impossible to find it. We have no idea where it is. Then I get a phone call and an email saying it was found in the pocket of your seat. Now, let me tell you this right now. If someone's going to go and search for something, is that the first place that they would look? Where the seat is, it's your... You see, Belinda will disagree with this statement, but I believe that God actually supernaturally lost my passport for me because he wanted to show me something in the realm of the Spirit. You see, and yes, when you're prophetic, you read into everything, and don't worry, it's a good thing. But this is really, really important. If we don't see things the way that God sees them, when we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us, and we don't understand that he wants us to grow in levels of authority, and yes, my passport was sent immediately back to the hotel, and I'm like... Unless we start to understand that the realm of the Spirit is operating in a different way. Imagine if an angel wanted that works overseas wanted to meet, or God wanted me to meet that angel. And so in order that I could start partnering with a particular angel in a particular nation. And so he did that in order for me to connect. No, you can't say that. Oh, really? You see, God is much bigger. He's much bigger than we could possibly imagine. I remember when I was at the... Can I tell you another story? Gosh, there's a lot of stories today. This is a preach. I do have more scripture. I remember when I first moved to Australia and my visa, I was on... I looked at multiple visas. I really felt like I was supposed to be here. And I remember going to the thing, my visa would run out and I was about to be... I should be deported. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, you know. So I went back to the thing, and I think I was 3 days or over or whatever, and I was supposed to be deported. And I went into the immigration office in Sydney, and the Lord spoke to me, and I just finished my course. I was studying at a mega church, not C3, and I'd finished a course there, but it was time for me to go back to the UK. But I really felt the Lord say that I was supposed to be here. I've lived here now, nowhere else, for 17, 18 years. And so I remember going there, and the Lord spoke to me. You might have heard this story before. And I'm in the office, and I'm waiting in the line. I'm like, these guys are going to deport me now. This is going to do my head in, or I'll have to leave the country for a season, reapply for something and all of that. And that's completely legitimate. Who's ever been through a process like that? One person. Oh, you got, yeah, you're from the UK. UK and, not Sweden. Germany, near there, yeah, somewhere. Where, sorry? Switzerland. Oh, cool, nice. Anyway, so I'm in there, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, get down on your knees and worship me. And I'm like, no way in the world I am getting on my knees ever in any government organization. This would have been 2004. I'm like, no way in the world. He said, get down on your knees and worship me. Yeah, if I want to be shot as a terrorist, I could do that. What am I going to start to pray and then they're going to shoot me immediately? Whatever. He goes, get down on your knees. So I get down on my knees sheepishly. Now, I don't know if you've ever got down. I'm not going to show you the example. But I was sheepish in my descent. I was kind of like pretending I was kind of tying my shoe. And I remember this pressure coming behind me like this strong pressure and pushing me down. And I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. Now I'm like looking like I'm about to worship, you know, Allah. I'm like this. And I'm like, this is not good at all. And then the Lord pulled me back up. I felt my body come back up. And then he said, put your hands in the air and worship me. And I said, why? And he said, because I'm about to part the Red Sea for you. So I got in this thing and I'm like, I've been just like most embarrassing moments times two, you know. There's a queue and I'm now... True story. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I felt something shift in the atmosphere. I felt the Holy Spirit say, I get it, get up. Now, I don't know. I was so, you know, when you do something stupid, you don't want to look at anyone. And I was just like this. Okay. They were like, wow, this guy really, really needs to stay here. You know, it's like. Anyway, so I get to the counter And the guy comes up and I get my passport and I say, hey, how are you doing? Smiling as strongly as I can because this is the way that I can, you know, save myself. I'm like, hi, how are you? You know, I've got, you know, oh, I'm so pleased. Hey, just there. And he looked at my visa and he again went, no, 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 no. He just looked at my thing and he goes, oh, you're all run out. He was, and he started to get posture and he's like, you can't be in this country. You know, started to do the thing. And this guy, about 6'4", extremely good looking, and because I just remember, striking good looking guy, came up behind the man that was on the seat, touched his shoulder, moved him across, and he said, I'm going to handle this one. And I'm like, oh no. And the guy looked at me, like I'm like, oh no, this is like obviously the head whoever. And the guy says, I'm going to handle this one. And looked at me, smiled, winked, opened the passport, stamped it, and said, you're good to go. You just come in sometime in the future and let us know what you want to do, either be here or be somewhere else. And winked, and then he said, go. Now I'm going. Now I told that story to an American that had been in and out of the country, and she goes, oh, you met the angel that works at the immigration office, didn't you? You see, I live in two different worlds. You live in two different worlds. And it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it says, don't forget to entertain strangers, because sometimes unwittingly people have been hosting or entertaining or engaging angels. And I want to encourage you in this, whether that was an angel or not, I'm just telling you what the person said to me, and I'm telling you what happened. There are two different worlds happening right now. And so whether God is calling you to go in the realm of the Spirit over a particular nation or do something, never forget who you are in the core of your identity. You are a different person. You are not normal. No one in here is normal. Don't ever think you go home and you look at people in the world, which is a fine thing. There's nothing, no issue. But don't ever think that you are the same, because you are not. You are, we are bilocated beings. You know, there's so many scriptures, but I don't want to go too long. But in the book of, I'll just go through it. But we all know when Jesus calmed the sea, and it says, and the disciples are like, wow, what manner of man, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. And the manner and kind of man, brilliant. Oh, thank you so much. It says, the men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. And the manner of man or kind of man, it's like, what ilk? Where is this? We can't accredit this to something normal. In fact, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you don't need to put it up, it's fine. Paul says specifically, he says, it talks about why are you behaving like mere mortals? Why are you behaving like mere men? Though you're actually a supernatural being, you're of supernatural origin. We don't behave like mere mortals because we are not. You are actually an eternal being right now who will live forever. And there is a spirit world around that is called to assist you and yield to you. How crazy is that? And so, is everyone okay? Okay. I live in two different worlds. You still got that in your spirit. Now, how many people could believe that God wants to call us up into something new and actually unlock something? So what I want to do, how long do we normally go on this? How long have I been on? About 40 minutes, okay. Okay. I don't want to, you know, sometimes we can talk, the message this morning by Todd was amazing, by the way. But sometimes we can talk and fill a lot of space, but actually there's a point. And the point is that I really want people to activate today into the reality that we are of a spiritual origin. Todd talked about this morning. We are born from above, and we've actually been born into something a lot bigger and a lot greater than we could possibly imagine. Now, I want to do two prayers. The first one is I want to activate people into a greater level of awareness of this reality that we are living in two different places, in two different worlds, that we acknowledge people after the Spirit and we acknowledge ourselves after the Spirit. But the other one, I want to go, we'll do that one first. Let me stand up first. Can you put the pads on? Okay. whenever you're ready. Okay, so we just acknowledge, and I'm going to pray for you guys, but we acknowledge right now that we are born from above. You can just agree with me. That we are born from above. And that we are called to live in two places at once because the Bible says so. We acknowledge that we have been born in spirit and in the natural. And that in the spirit, who we are has limitless capacity and potential. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak an unlocking in the realm of the spirit over every person watching, every person in here or listening to the podcast. Right now, I speak an unlocking in the realm of the spirit, an enlargement, an enlarging of the place of our tent, as it were. And I thank you, God, that there will be an updraft come for each and every person here, where the level of awareness and the level of abiding into the two realms would become completely distinct in their life. That we would understand more than we ever have before for some people. We would understand who we are and what level of engagement we are called to have in both the natural world and the spirit, but predominantly the spirit world in order to impact the natural. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, where there have been ears and eyes that have been dampened or deafened or eyes that have been blinded, right now we speak a lifting off of every blindfold in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for an activation in the realm of the spirit over every person in this place in the name of Jesus. Just on the back of what Dan DeVar was praying and preaching over the last little while, Father, we thank you that the people's spirits would be brought forward today in the name of Jesus, and an awareness of our biblical authority, an awareness of our biblical existence in the realm of the spirit. And I thank you, God, for the roar of the lion that comes up through our spirits, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to take territory, to take dominion, to administrate the things of the kingdom in and through the world that we live in the name of Jesus. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, this is the most important part of the prayer, in the name of Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would have no fear of being deceived, would have no fear of the spirit world, even though it's a bit strange. We would have no fear, but instead, in righteousness, we would be bold as lions. That we would be bold to administrate in both the realm of the spirit and through that, the realm of the natural. The same way we have confidence that we're normal people, Father, I thank you that we would be confident in engaging with the angelic, confident in soaring above nations and changing things and thrones and dominions in the realm of the spirit, confidence in all these things as we come up and we live above. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I just speak over everyone here that you are called, we are called to live above in Jesus' name. And so we call you up to take your seats. We call you up. And where there's people that are latched to the earth, we speak a severing of earthbound demonic interference. Things that would have you severed or taped to the floor. Not severed, taped to the floor. And Father, we thank you for an unfastening in the realm of the Spirit for every person here in Jesus' name, in order that we would come up and administrate who we are in the realm of the Spirit to impact the realm of earth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Now, for those people that that feel called, that felt touched by my testimony about my dad, what I want to do is I want to, on the back of us understanding about spiritual realities, I want to pray for any people here that feel like there is stuff that still needs to be, or that God has spoken to you, or you know that there is stuff on your family line that is actually part of your inheritance and hasn't yet been realized yet. I'm not talking about fully realized, because being fully realized is the journey when you have it realized. So this is the stuff that you've not yet realized, because that's what was my journey. So is there anyone here that speaks to? If that speaks to you, you stay standing. Everyone else sit down, please. Okay, perfect. So for the people, there's people standing. You just repeat this prayer after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take me in the realm of the Spirit, down my family lines, and highlight to me anything that has not yet been realized, and allow me to do any heart journey that I need to do to see those things activated. I choose to take hold of anything yet unfulfilled with both hands and pull it in to my now. Pull it in to my family's now. Where anything has been abdicated, I ask you, Holy Spirit, would you allow me and my current family to be the activators, the recipients, and the fulfillers of unfulfilled missions, mandates, assignments, and callings in Jesus' name. And I choose to repent for any fear that I've partnered with, connected to those realities in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a shout or a clap or a, come on. Woo! Well, that's good. Is that good? Does everyone feel good? Come on. I feel good too. And I'm really excited to hear the testimonies that come through as a result of what people end up engaging. So bless you guys. Bless you. Bless you.